Proverbs 3. We're going to be looking at the verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Read a little story about a captain of a ship who was looked out into the darkness of night, and he saw a light in the distance. And he immediately told his signalman to send a message. And he said, alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly he received a reply back. The reply was, alter your course 10 degrees north. Well, the furious captain sent another message. He says, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am captain. And he soon got a reply back and says, alter your 10 degrees north. I am a seaman of the third class, Jones. The captain sent the final message back, very irritated and angry. He said, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am in a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. You know, we must stop trying to direct our own lives, and we need to seek God's direction. God knows best. And that captain, if he didn't pay attention to what he was told, he would be very sorry, because the rocks weren't going to move. And you know, in our lives, many times we need direction from God. That is something we need on a daily basis. Sometimes they're big directions, sometimes it's little stuff. But we need direction from God. And this passage is a passage that God has given us to help us find direction. And you notice the words of that passage. He says in the last verse, he shall direct thy paths. God gives us a promise. If we'll do what he said here, he's going to direct our paths. So there's things here we can learn tonight that can be a great help to us. And I find here four instructions, and they're very obvious in the verses, all divided up into little sections. Four instructions God gives us on getting direction from God. Notice the first one. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I've entitled this first little section, trust wholeheartedly in God. Trust wholeheartedly in God. We must not trust ourselves. You know, self-sufficiency and self-dependence are characteristics of our fallen nature. That's the way we like to be. I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. We get that even from little children. You know, it doesn't take long for the child to say, I want to do it my way. And I don't want to do it your way. Because we think we know what's best. And there's that part of our fallen nature that is self-sufficient and self-dependent. We have a proneness to rely on ourselves and on our might and on our wisdom and our resources. I can figure it out. I can do it. I have the ability. I can take care of myself. And that is our sinful nature. And God condemns this error over in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. If we trust in our own heart, God says, we're a fool. We're a fool. And yet many times we've done that from child up. We have trusted in our own judgments. We've made our own decisions. And we didn't ask anybody else's opinion. And I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what to do. I know how to do this. And we make our own decision. And God says, when we do that, we're a fool. Because we're not seeking the counsel and wisdom of God and the counsel and wisdom of others. But here in our text, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The word Lord there, all capital letters, referring to Jehovah, the all-sufficient, all-knowing God. And he says, we are to trust in the Lord. The word trust there means to have confidence in. We are to have complete confidence in God. We do not trust people who we do not know well. And this is really key to understanding what it means to trust God. If someone knocked on your door tomorrow, and you'd never seen them in your life, you had no clue who they were, and they said, listen, I've got a special deal for you. If you give me $100 of cash right now, I will go and I will buy $100 worth of groceries for you, and I'll be back this afternoon and deliver them. Most of us would say, sorry, no thanks. I'm not interested. Because we don't know them. However, if a friend of yours, a dear friend of yours, came to you and said, I know that it's cold and rainy and nasty outside. If you give me $100, I'll go get your groceries. I'll be back this afternoon. You'd be much more likely to trust them. Why? Because you know them. And so it is with God. One of the reasons we fail to trust God is that we really do not know Him intimately like we should. Every day, we should be looking for characteristics of God in the Scriptures. As you read the Scriptures every day, and I hope you do read the Scriptures every day, but as you read the Scriptures, you need to be looking for characteristics of God. What kind of God do you serve? What kind of God do I serve? And we need to ask ourselves, what is God like? What is His characteristics like? As I went through many verses pondering on this, here's a list of, certainly not an exhaustive list, just to whet your taste of what our God is like. Our God is long-suffering. He is good. He's loving. He's unchanging. He's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy. He faints not. He is all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. His ways are perfect. He comforts. He is faithful. He will help. He is our rock. He is our fortress. His thoughts and ways are higher than ours. He is holy. Nothing's too hard for God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is our help. He works all things together for good. He is wise. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He cares. He is excellent in power. And He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Our God is great. And folks, I want to challenge you tonight. If we're going to grasp what God is telling us here, He said we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We've got to know God. We've got to know Him intimately. We've got to know Him personally. Not just know Him as our Savior, but know Him. The Apostle Paul said one of his passions of life was to know Christ. And it wasn't just to know who He was. It wasn't just to know that He was a man that died on the cross. It was to know Him intimately. To know God. And folks, we can spend the rest of our lives at this process of getting to know God. But the better we get to know God, the better we'll trust God. And God just stabbed my heart with this and said, you know, the reason that you don't trust me like you should is you don't know me like you should. We need to know God intimately. Know how He responds. And know when I have a problem and I run to God and say, God, I've got this problem. I need to know that God cares. And I need to know that God loves me. And I need to know that God is able. And I know that God will take care of it. And I know that even if the problem is something that turns wrong, that I know God doesn't make any mistakes. And I know that God is always right. And I know that God will never fail me. I need to know God. And so I challenge you tonight, strive to get to know God better. And He said we're to know and trust God with all of our heart. Our heart refers to our emotions, our thoughts, and our will, that part down inside of us. And we need to trust God not just in word, but in our passion. It's easy to say, I trust God. And if I was to ask you, do you trust God? Of course I trust God. But when it comes right down to it, do we really trust God? Do we trust Him from the depths of our heart? He said, I want you to trust me wholeheartedly. And that is a key to the promise here. He's given us a promise at the end of this verse, but He said, if you're going to get the promise, you've got to do it my way. And I want you to trust me wholeheartedly with everything. Completely trust me. God does not want us to ask for His direction while intending in our heart to follow our own plans if we don't like what He says. Remember back when we were studying Jeremiah? We got to that section in Jeremiah where the city had fallen. Most of the people had been taken to Babylon in captivity. And the few little poor people were left there under the rule of Gedaliah. Was set there as the governor over them by Nebuchadnezzar. And then Gedaliah was assassinated, and the people that were left were fearful. They thought, well, certainly because Gedaliah was assassinated, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be mad, and he's going to come down here and wipe us all out and kill us. And so they ran to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, please, you ask God what we're supposed to do. And Jeremiah was a bit hesitant, but he said, okay, I'll do that. As long as you promise me, you'll do what God says to do. Yeah, yeah, we promise. We'll do what God says. And he went to God, and God says, stay in the land. I'll take care of you. Do not fear Nebuchadnezzar, but do not go to Egypt. And as soon as he gave them that message, they said, we knew you'd say that. We're going to Egypt. We don't care what you said. And they had just told him that we will do what God said. And they had no intentions of doing that. That's not how we need to come to God. When we come to God and we trust Him with all of our heart, that is not saying, God, I trust You as long as it pleases Me and as long as I think You're right, I'll do it, God. He says, trust Me even if you don't understand, even if you don't get it, even if you don't think it's right, trust Me. Trust Me. Because I'll do it right. I'll do what's best. And so we must wholeheartedly trust God even when it conflicts with our own personal desires. Sometimes it does. Sometimes we say, I don't like that. But God said, this is what I want. This is what I've brought to your life. This is what I want you to go through. And you'll be all right. I'll take care of you. I'll meet that need. Trust Me. And so God says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So God's first instruction is to trust wholeheartedly. Then the second instruction is to rest exclusively on God. Rest exclusively on God. Look at the second half of verse 5. He said, lean not on thine own understanding. Lean not on thine own understanding. We are not to lean on our understanding. Now, when we talk about lean, leaning is when you rest on something. If I lean on the pulpit here tonight, I'm resting on the pulpit. I'm leaning on it. And that's what God says. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. And so our understanding, what does He mean by understanding? The word understanding is an interesting word. It refers to discernment. One of my lexicons described it as the ability to distinguish between two different things. He said in the Hebrew tents, many times they would have a divider in the tent with just the cloth divider in the tent. One side was a woman's side, the other side was a men's side. And a foreigner, one of us, we'd walk into the tent and say, well, I don't know, one side's the other side. They look the same to me. But to be able to distinguish one from the other was this the idea of this word, the ability to distinguish two things, one from the other. And God said here, lean not on your own distinction. Lean not on your own ability to understand. Lean not on your own discernment and saying, I think this is the right way. And God says, don't lean on your decision, on your discernment. You lean on My discernment. Let Me be the one that discerns which is right and which is wrong. And as we go through life, we're trying to make a decision and we say, I think this is the right way. And God may say, no, this is the right way. And we say, oh, I don't like that. And maybe God's not right. Maybe that's not right. But we need to trust the Lord. Now, sometimes, obviously, it gets difficult when it's hard to know. And that's one of the reasons on Wednesday nights we're studying how to discern and prove things that are difficult. But here He says that we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, trusting that He's not going to make a mistake, and lean not on our own understanding. You know, if we were to take a bushwalk, and we saw a bunch of birds, you know, bush birds that we don't see very much around town. And in order for you to know what kind of bird it was, and more specifically, to be able to discern that's a male, that's a female, you're going to have to know a lot about those birds. The average person like me, they'll walk into the bush and say, oh, there's a pretty bird. It's blue and yellow. And wow, that's a cool looking bird. What is it? I don't know. Is it a male or female? I wouldn't have a clue. But somebody that understands the birds could spot it and say, oh, yeah, that's this kind. And it's, oh, that color one there, that's a male. And this one over here is a female. Why? Because they know them. And so it is in our relationship with God. We need to trust God and leave it with Him and to know, let Him distinguish one from the other. Now, leaning upon our finite understanding rather than on God's infinite understanding when making decisions is not wise. It's not wise. It is acting as if we know better than God. So when we're making a decision and we say, this is the way I really think is right, yet I know God said that this is the right way, I just can't see that. That doesn't make any sense to me. This makes perfectly good sense over here. I think this is the right way. I don't understand why God said that, but I'm going to do this. That is saying, I know better than God. That is wrong. That is a foolish way to act. We need God's direction. And when we need God's direction, we must rest on His discernment and not on our discernment. We have a very limited knowledge database. God has an unlimited knowledge database. He knows it all. And that is an awesome thing about God. If we lean on Him and His unlimited database, He understands the present and the future and the past all equally the same. We can look at the present and we can say, well, I kind of see things here. We know a little bit about the past if we've been through some things. But we know nothing about the future. God knows it all. And He can see the whole thing. And we need to lean on Him. He's got a complete database of all that takes place. He knows all the facts in every situation. And we must rest fully on our God's superior understanding. Remember that great verse in Psalm 147, verse 5? It says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. And that verse follows up on one of the awesome verses of the Bible that says that He tells the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. And then it says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God knows all the trillions upon trillions upon trillions of stars by name. He knows it all. No man is capable of that. God knows it all. We have a God that has got an unlimited database. And God is saying, do not lean on your own understanding. Rest exclusively upon Me. And if we will rest exclusively upon God and His divine understanding, even if it is not logical to us, we'll make the right choice. Because God knows what's best. So first instruction that God gives us is to trust wholeheartedly on Him. Secondly, it is to rest exclusively on God. Number three, it is to listen carefully to God. Listen carefully to God. Look at this next phrase. It's one that you may not understand any better than I did until I dug into it. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. I always thought that meant in everything you do, talk to God about it. Ask God. It's not what acknowledge means. I looked up that word acknowledge, and you can look it up too. It simply means to know. He says, in all your ways, know God. In all your ways, know God. Now, what does he mean by that? To know God. Wardlaw, in his commentary, made this statement. He says, such acknowledgement of God implies the careful consultation of God's word for guidance. He said, we need to know God. We need to go back to the book and know God. What does God say about this situation? What does God say about this kind of a decision I have to make? What does God say? What does He tell me? And so we need to find and know the mind of God by listening to God through His Word. And also through listening to the Holy Spirit as we seek to Him in prayer. We need to listen carefully to what God has to say about our situation. And do that by digging back into the Word of God. We must seek to know God's mind in all our ways. Our ways refer to our paths. The word ways there is the idea of a path of life, our manner of life, our habits, our directions. Literally, it means a road, the path that you walk on. But it's implied to all the road that we walk in life. When you walk to school, and when you walk to work, and you walk to the grocery store, and you walk, you know, to the neighbors and all the things we do in life, not the literal walking, but our way of life. And he says, in every way of life, we need to know God. Wednesday nights, as we study this on learning to prove all things, that's all thy ways in everything of life, in every area of life. We need to know God. We need to know His mind. in every decision we make, in every burden we bear, in every friendship we make, our work, every work situation, every area of our life includes all our ways. And he says, in all thy ways, know God. Know God. Know God's mind. What is God's mind? Acknowledging God is listening to God. And since God often reveals his direction through the Bible, the more carefully we listen to God and what he says in the Word, the more clearly we'll know his direction. Unless we can come to God's Word with a sincere desire to follow it and relinquish whatever we may have planned, the moment we perceive an inconsistency between our plan and his plan, we're not really acknowledging God. So we may be thinking, all right, I've got my plans, and this is what I'm planning on doing. Now, God, is that really what you want? And I dig into the Bible, and we see, and God says, no, that's not right. This is right. That's the wrong way. And I say, ah. But we need to be willing to say, okay, God, that was what I was going to do. I can see that's not what you want. I can see you want me to go this way. Therefore, I will relinquish what I was going to do, and I'll do what you want. That is acknowledging God, seeking God's mind, desiring to know what he wants for us. And we must sincerely believe that God will never direct us contrary to his word. And folks, we know that in our heads, but we need to believe it in our hearts. God will never direct your life contrary to the Bible. If the Bible says we're to do one thing, we cannot do opposite to that and think we're doing God's will. God doesn't direct that way. He always directs in line with the Bible. And granted, there are times when God isn't, you cannot find specifically in the Bible, thou shalt do this and thou shalt do this. And that's when we need the principles. And that's what we're studying on Wednesday night, to dig out, how do I discern all those things? But this verse, these verses here are really key to that process. Therefore, listen carefully for his direction as you read the Bible. Strive to get to know God intimately as you study and meditate on the Word. I don't know how much you truly meditate on the Bible, but meditation is amazing. And I don't do nearly enough of it. But when I meditate on the Scripture, it just comes alive. As meditating, you know, one person described it this way. If you know how to worry, you're a professional meditator. Because what do we do when we worry? We think about every way that this situation could go wrong. Everything that could happen. If this goes, oh, this will happen. If that happens, what if this happens? What if that happens? We think of every scenario, and we sit there stewing about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, trying to go to sleep, and it's all buzzing through our mind, and we're meditating on our troubles. Instead of meditating on our troubles, we need to meditate on Scripture. And take that Scripture and look up the words and look up the meanings and think about it and say, what was God saying? How does that apply? What does that mean? How can I use that? What can that do for me? How can this change my life? How can I apply that to my situation? What verses will apply to this problem I have? How can I solve this? And you meditate on it, think about it, and think about it, and let it go over and over and over in your mind until God embeds the Scriptures into our hearts and helps us to grasp what he was saying. It'll do wonders for us, but we fail to meditate. We may read the verses quickly, and you've read over and say, yeah, I read my little passage for today, and did you learn anything? Well, I don't remember much about it. Well, if we don't remember much about it, we certainly didn't meditate on it. And meditating, at least I find, maybe you've got a better mind than I do, I have a hard time meditating on something I haven't memorized. It's pretty hard, because if you're trying to lay in bed and meditate on something that you, or taking my walk and I'm trying to meditate on something, if I can't recall it in my mind and pull it back, how do you meditate on it? You at least have to have it down well enough to be able to think over it. Maybe write it down on a paper. If there's something you have been meditating on or thinking on, or God spoke to your heart from a Scripture, write it on a paper, stick it in your pocket, and then as you're taking your walk, you can pull it out and read it again, or you're laying in bed at night and, you know, turn on a little light and just, oh yeah, that's what it was. And you can meditate on it. But if you can't remember, you can't meditate on it. So somehow, we either got to memorize it, or get very familiar with it, or write it down. But meditating on the Word of God will help us a great deal to know God's mind. So we need to trust wholeheartedly. We need to rest exclusively. We need to listen carefully. But lastly, we need to expect confidently from God. Expect confidently from God. God has promised to direct our paths. That's what he said. He said, lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Got a promise from God. Now, our paths here, you see the words there in this verse 6. In the starting of the verse, it talks about ways, and the end of the verse, it ends with paths. They're two different Hebrew words, but they're synonyms. They're both talking about the same thing, the path of life. Every area of our life, the path of life, the things that we do, our work, our friendships, our marriage, our education, our hobbies, our pleasures, our entertainment, every area of our life are our paths. And if we follow the three instructions that God has given us, God promises that he will direct our paths. He will direct our paths. The word direct there simply means to make them straight and smooth. To make our paths straight and smooth. Now, it doesn't necessarily promise that they're going to be easy, but to be straight and smooth. I enjoy reading historical novels or historical biographies of men of the past, of pioneer-type guys. And one of my heroes is Daniel Boone. In the olden days of America, back in the, I think it was the 1800s, my memory is failing me, but it was a long time ago. Maybe it was the 1700s. But he was a pioneer. He would hike through the bushlands of America. At that time, when nothing was explored. Indians everywhere, wild beasts and grizzly bears and everywhere, all over the place. And he would hike through these bushlands all through, and he was a great explorer. And men like him and many others like him began to become so skillful in tracking animals or tracking Indians. You and I would look at it and say, I don't see a single sign of anybody. And you say, yeah, well, look at this little spot here. And there's a little spot there. There's a little footprint here. And they become expert in that. And they could follow these tracks. But you couldn't say it was plain and clear. But God says, I'm not going to direct your path so that you can find your way spot by spot through the bush of the deep forest. He said, I'm going to make your plan. If you trust me, I'll make it clear. You're not going to have to say, well, I hope this is the way God said. God said, I'll make it clear for you. It'll be clear and smooth. Now, again, it didn't say it was going to be easy. Not all of God's will is easy. But God says, you'll be able to know my will. I'll show you the path. It's not going to be hidden from you. It'll be easy to find and available for us to see. And we must confidently expect direction from God. If we fulfill God's requirements, we must expect him to keep his promise. And God will direct our paths every time we follow his instructions in this verse. So review them with me. What did God say? We are to trust him wholeheartedly. And if we fully, wholeheartedly trust God, and then he said, I want you not only to trust me wholly, but I want you to lean on not on your own understanding. Rest exclusively on me. And number three, he said, I want you to listen carefully to me and my instructions and my guidelines. And if we will do those three things, God said, if we will do that, he will direct our paths. And that is a promise. And what a treasure that we can have and hang on to there. When we need guidance, when we need direction, we need to know, God, what do you want? God said, if you come to me with a wholehearted desire to know me and to trust me and to believe me, I will not lead you wrong. And I believe God is telling us the truth. But our problem is many times we don't really trust God. And we lean partly on our own understanding. And we don't really turn to God for all of our knowledge. We have our own ideas and we try to follow our ideas and they get us into trouble. So my challenge to you tonight is to just ask God, God, help me. Help me to get to know you more intimately and to know your word more thoroughly and to fill my database of my mind more thoroughly with the scriptures so that when I have to make decisions, I can know what God has said and what God wants me to do based on the scriptures of the Word of God, based on my relationship with God, based on my communion with the Holy Spirit, and I can know your mind and make right choices in my decisions. If we'll do that, God says, I will direct your paths.